Can we open our Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 105? Can you just say this and say it very loud? My word and my time. Yeah, thank you very much. I want to title my meditations for this evening, Your Word and Your Time. Let's read from the book of Psalms 105. Of course, you know the story about it. It was just a narration of the things concerning the covenant of God, how he had worked with the people over the years. From verse 8, it described the fact that there was a covenant that God had with the people, a word that he commanded to 1,000 generations, which he made with Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob, that the people were wandering about from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. And then in verse 14, it says, he permitted no one to oppress them, and he reproved kings for their sakes. What did he say? Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Now, please, let me read from verse 16, which is where my story is. And he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, that is, all the experiences of the life of Joseph, was actually God sending him on an errand. When he was being sold into slavery, it was God sending him on an errand. In verse 17, he said, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. He said, they afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons. That is, all the problems of the life of Joseph was because God was sending him on an errand. You follow that point? That is, the people sold him, they conspired against him, decided they wanted to kill him. It was part of God's process of sending him on an errand. They threw him into a pit. It was still God sending him on an errand. They sold him as a slave. It was still God sending him on an errand. And everything he went through till he got to the house of Potiphar, it was still God sending him on an errand. When the wife of Potiphar lied, all right, on him, and the man was thrown into jail, it was still God sending him on an errand. Do you understand what I'm going to say? So he said, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons. Now, all of this happened until a particular point, verse 19. So, until the time that his word came to pass, I'm reading New American Standard. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him, the ruler of the peoples, and set him free. He said he made him lord of his house and ruler over all his possessions, to imprison his princes at will, that he might teach his elders wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt. Thus Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. Now the Bible says that God sent a man ahead of them. So when that man had been established, ready to take over, ready to handle why God sent him, then Israel was now sent into Egypt. And in verse 24, it says, and he caused his people to be very fruitful and made them stronger than their adversaries. Now his people were fruitful and they became stronger than their adversaries because a man was sent ahead of them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now please, now let me leave my emphasis in a particular verse and then I begin to speak. In verse 19, he said, all this happened to him until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Now, please, I said I'm titling my meditations for this evening, what? Your word and what? Your time. Now, while I was reading this scripture, I was reading it, and then I read this, and I got to this particular point. And it struck me that, that for each person, there is a word. I checked many translations to see whether it was the word of God it was saying there or what. It said, no, until the time that his own word, that is Joseph's word, came to pass. There are different ways you look at it. You can interpret that to mean that the word that Joseph spoke, but the way I understand it is this. That is the word of God that had to do with the life of Joseph. That was Joseph's word. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, each person has a word. Now, please get what I'm saying. You know, when we're discussing about walking in the will of God, the life of grace and stuff like that, I explained that what is God's will is not that which appears good to me or the one that I came to understand having prayed and fasted and listened to my spirit. What makes something the will of God is that it is in accordance with that which was written concerning me before I was born. And that's what I'm explaining. that when the Bible says that, now, that when we are talking about the word, that is Joseph's word, we are using that one to explain that everybody has a word concerning his life. That is, there is a word concerning your life. There is a word concerning my life. We're not describing just the fact that God has a will, generally speaking, but that there's a specific word that God spoke, and that was what brought you, I hope you get what I'm saying. That was what brought you into existence. Listen, I know there's a book I told you I was working on. I didn't finish it this weekend. I'm still working on it. I hope to finish it over the next few days, put finishing touches, all right, to it. Now, the book is titled How to Work for God, or How Do I Serve God, all right? Now, I'm not discussing the book in details, but one of the portions I wrote earlier on today in that book is describing again the issue of the calling for people's lives. And I explained the principle there that before God made your body, now listen to what I'm going to say. Jesus said it like this, a body, he said, sacrifice an offering thou hast not desired. He said, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, he said, a body. In fact, Paul explained it like this, that God gives a body to each seed. That is, every body, that each physical flesh was given according to the seed that God prepared. Please get what I'm going to explain. That is, there is a word that God spoke. And when that word was spoken, it required your body for the fulfillment thereof. What I'm saying, I hope it's clear. That is, God never made, no, you know what he said to Jeremiah? It's something we know. He said, before I formed you in the womb, what happened? I knew you. That is, there was a word. It wasn't like as if the flesh was formed and then we looked for a purpose for it. No, it is that we had a purpose first of all, and then we formed a flesh to fit that purpose. I'm explaining the principle here, that there's a word that brought everybody to light. There's a word that brought each individual, I'm explaining now, not generally, that is, each person, there was a word that God spoke first, and the fulfillment of that word requires your existence. I don't know whether you're getting my message. Listen, God has spoken many things. There is one thing he said that said no, a chuku became must exist for it to be fulfilled. Are you getting what I'm saying? When God spoke, there was something he said one day, and for there to be a fulfillment of it, a banky had to be born. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? That is, I was created to fulfill a word. It's not just about purpose. Now, it's purpose. That's what I'm talking about. But I'm not even trying to describe now. That's a different level of looking at it. I'm not even trying to describe just the fact that, yes, my coming must be a blessing to people's life. I must affect my generation for God. And you know I believe that. And that's absolutely correct. But I'm explaining something deeper. That when there was a day that God spoke something, as soon as he said it, the fulfillment of it required the formation of a particular flesh. Therefore, listen, your mother had to marry your father. Are you getting my point? Yes, it was crucial. You see, that's the thing about the wisdom of God. That's that thing about the wisdom of God. He knows how to arrange every event on this earth so as to bring his purpose to pass. Are you getting my point? Before you were formed, God had spoken a word. And that's the word I'm describing this evening. He said in this Psalm 105, in that verse 19, until the time that his word came to pass, that is, there was a word that made Rachel conceive and give birth to Joseph. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that word had to come to pass. I hope I'm not sounding too deep. I hope you are following me. That is, there is nobody's life, all right, that's an accident. Get what I'm saying? That is, it's not just as if God has a purpose. Yes, he has a purpose. It's that he spoke something, and the fulfillment of that thing required a particular body. I like the way he said it concerning Jesus. He said that's Psalm 40. He said, sacrifice and offerings you have not desired. Okay, let me read a quote from the book of Hebrews chapter 10. I read from verse 5. Now, let me just say something here. Let me read from verse 1, all right. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. That's a fact. All right? Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, will no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. Now listen to this word, verse 4. For it is impossible, now this is a word from God, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, notice that, because there is a divine truth, an established statement from the mouth of God concerning the order of this universe, that it is impossible, all right, for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, Jesus had to come into the world. So he said, when he came into the world, he says, listen, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired. Why? Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats. So because he said that, he said, therefore, when he came into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. That is, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins, therefore, a body was prepared for Jesus Christ. He said, in whom burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, thou hast taken no pleasure. Then I said, verse 7, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Now, please get what I'm explaining here. That is, because there was a word, all right, a divine thought, a divine fact, are you getting what I'm saying, that was issued forth and was circulating. Therefore, a body was prepared for the fulfillment of that word. I hope you are getting my point. If sin had to be taken away, a body had to be prepared so that Jesus will come and be the final sacrifice that will take away sins. I'm explaining something. Now, when God spoke concerning the fact that Israel will inherit the promised land, now, because of divine calculations, I don't know how God arrived at that, it was necessary, therefore, that the people will leave where they were and go to the land of Ham, all right, which was Egypt. And because that word was spoken, do you get what I'm saying? Therefore, a body was prepared to make the people flourish in the land of Ham. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, that body was sent ahead of them so as to fulfill God's counsel. I'm explaining something, that what he said here is that there was a word, all right, that the life of Joseph represented. It is not just that Joseph came here to come and do work for God, but that his very existence was a physical manifestation of a word that God has spoken. Let me summarize everything I've said. Bring it down home. That is, you're sitting down here, there's a reason for it. I hope you're getting my point. That is, it's because God spoke a word. It's because God spoke a word. And there is a word concerning your life. Listen, of the 6.something billion people on this earth, there is a word for each person. God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't say the same thing twice. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In fact, he said it like this, that the gifts and callings of God, they are without repentance. Now, I was talking about, I thought it was this book I was writing, all right, on how to work for God, all right, how you people can serve God and, you know, with a free conscience. All right? And in it, I explained something about the issue of calling. That when we talk about calling, calling just means that there is something, and it had to do with the assignment that God placed upon each person's life. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? And then when Paul explained it, he said the gifts and callings of God, they are what? Without repentance. Listen, that's why anybody who makes up his mind, all right, not to walk in God's order for his life is going to have a very hard time walking in this life at all. Because see, the body was prepared, not by chance, not as if the person will be born and then will start looking for something that he can do. Where will he fit? Do you understand my point? There is a way by which, you know, see, some people are talking about prayer, how to pray, get this one from the hand of God. Now, some of those things I said that, look, they are good. They are baseline faith that we must learn. But there's a way I pray prayers in certain areas. Let me give an example. When I was coming to Enugu, or when I first came to Enugu, I said something and I believed it even before I came, that where I will go in life, let me summarize it, it's going to be purely based upon, let's use this word we're using now, the word concerning my life. So when I came into town and I needed to get a house, And it was very difficult to get a house, a nice house that I would live in. And I remember what I used to pray. Now, there are different ways of praying. Some will join hands with their wives. I had a wife also then. And say, okay, we claim a house, we describe a house, we do all kind of thing, the house, I do all kinds of talking, and ask God for it. Now, that is good, that's not bad, I'm not saying it is wrong. But there was a way I used to pray. My own prayer was that, I did not come to Enugu because I like Enugu. Listen, before I came to Enugu, I had only been to Enugu once in my life. And I used to stay on campus, we came for a conference, so I didn't really know Enugu well. There was nothing to make me like it. I had never really seen it. I came for a Christian conference. And you know the way those conferences are. You know, you wake up in the morning, take your breakfast, go for morning session, take a break, come for afternoon session, then take a break, then clap and sing, then they teach in the night, then you go back to sleep. Right? You're just one day we sneaked out to go and visit one of our sisters. There was no reason for me to say, okay, I like Enugu, that's the place I want to go to. No. But let me not bore you with the story again. I found out that God had led me down here, all right? I came here to, second time, after this incident I told you about, the second time I came to Enugu in my life was to come and pick up my appointment letter to start my job as a lecturer in Enugu campus of University of Nigeria. So that was what brought me to town. That's when I needed a house. So I said, look, I didn't come to Enugu because I like the place, in quote. I don't dislike it, but I mean, that's not what moved me down. It's not the love for the town. I said, it's purpose. It's now using these words. It's the word that was spoken. I said, that same word must have prepared the house that we'll live in. Do you understand my point? So my prayer was different. It was like, God, you knew we're coming, so we're supposed to live somewhere. The issue is, where is it? So every day it's like, where is it? It's not, oh God, I claim the house, I command the house to come. No, the idea is, where is it? Are you getting what I'm saying? It was there before we came. Therefore, where is it? That was the attitude with which I was approaching things until now. In fact, the prayer I've been praying for myself over the last few days and weeks now is that, God, please help me never to doubt the fact that you are in charge. Do you understand? There are times you desire something, you want to start praying and asking God and preparing, planning how you are going to get it. Then I just said to myself, Banky, forget. Look, he said, take no thought for the morrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, and where we do shall we be clothed. I am not supposed to be taking thought about it, concerning myself seriously about it. I'm explaining something, that there is a word, and that word, listen, it's not, you know, when they spoke to Mary, mother of Jesus Christ, all right, they came and said that you will conceive a son, you will have a son. He said, how shall these things be, seeing that I know no man? You know what the angel said? He said, no word of God shall be void of power. He said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's how most versions render it. But what the angel said literally is that once God speaks, do you get my point? Power is released to bring the thing to pass. That is, everything that is necessary to effect the production of that son has been brought into place. Look, all the inns that were filled for the day, all right, was because there was a word that was spoken, and it was necessary that that child be born in a manger. In fact, for the child to be born in Bethlehem, all right, that's where he was born, a decree was issued just to ensure that the child was born in Bethlehem. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. You know, today is American Election Day, all right? You don't know. The fever is everywhere. If you watched CNN yesterday, you will laugh. Reporters are all over Barack Obama's father's village right now. The village has never seen this kind of attention. The reporters have lined up, ready to report. This is the place where Barack Obama's father was born. The house Barack Obama lived in Indonesia. Was it Indonesia? Or Indonesia. Somebody's already trying to buy the house. I said, my God. His grandmother not desired to die this morning. I felt very bad. And the CNN was beaming the photograph of the woman. This is the correct picture. We showed you the wrong one earlier. This is the correct picture. She died after battling cancer for so long. As they're just whipping up sentiments. Make all of us feel bad. Let's just go and vote for the man. Oh, the Lord is good. What am I explaining? Now, whether he wins the election or not is besides the point. The point is that the guy has become a phenomenon. I mean, I said the reporters are all over his village. Every brother, in fact, oh God, I was watching the thing in Kenya, I was laughing. See, t-shirts everywhere. Now, if you want to, if you're Barack Obama's brother, you don't need to try to be important anymore. Don't even talk to your brother. Just go and call two reporters. Sit down. Let me tell you the story of our family. Now, I'm explaining something. Now, let me just say this. You know, I said something. I don't know why I shared it with you. After the Democratic convention and the Republican convention, Obama was trailing McCain in the polls by 2 points. As soon as McCain came out of their convention, after all the hype and everything, McCain was leading the polls by like 2 points. And I told one of my colleagues in the office, I said, this guy is an interesting fellow. Something will happen. I said, just watch it. Then I said it and I forgot. It was after it happened that the man came to tell me, you said so. What was it that happened? Lehman Brothers collapsed. It was like a tipping point for worldwide crisis. Crisis after the other. American stock market started dipping. Even Nigerian stock market, which was dipping before, everybody thinks it's part of the dip. Asian stock market followed. China, 90% of the goods manufactured in China are headed for the United States. So if Americans aren't buying, China is going to suffer. If America is not spending money on fuel, the world will feel it. The price of crude dropped from $140 a barrel to about $65 a barrel in less than 3 months. Suddenly, every American began to tremble. What happens to our retirement? Then they asked them, who will you vote for? I think we'll vote for Barack Obama. When the crisis began, that my colleague in the office came to see me. He said, Chief, you know you said this thing. That this guy, something will happen. I said, I've even forgotten that I said it, but I knew it. What am I saying? Let us assume it happens the way we are believing it will. Oh my God, please, do me a favor. Let the guy win. This afternoon, I called a friend of mine. He lives in Dallas, in Texas. So as soon as I called him, hey, boy, how you doing? He said, thank you, my man. He said, we did here, they prepare one and bell. I said, what did they happen? He said, no. I said, what did they happen now? I was trying to say that, you were born some time ago, not recently. What is happening? He said, today not the day now. When we are making Obama president, I said, oh, so he said, they prepare. In fact, the CNN reporter said that the only people that are not rejoicing that Obama might win are the cows that are going to die. That all the Malu in Kenya are waiting to be slaughtered. Those ones are feeling bad. So my guy said, he said, we are preparing our own bell that made the thing just happen. Ha! Then we'll go begin celebrate. I said, my God. Listen, that's how Joseph's life was. But there was a word. Listen, that's what we're talking about. A word was spoken first. I will preach, if this man wins the election, I will now preach my message. I have preached it before, but I will re-preach it. About the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. About the curse that was upon Ham. When they said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he will be. And Canaan was not the one who sinned, it was Ham that sinned. It's because it's Moses that wrote, cursed be Canaan. And I'll tell you the reason in a moment. What Noah said was, cursed be Ham. But Ham had 4 sons. Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. And they were going to take the land of Canaan. The curse that was upon Ham was upon Put, it was upon Cush, it was upon Mizraim, and it was upon Canaan. The manifestation of it in the life of Canaan was that Moses was taking the descendants of Jacob, all right, to go and take over the land of Canaan. He was supposed to be a servant of servants. Listen, when Abraham got a maid for his wife, what's her name? Hagar. It was from Egypt, the land of Ham. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, the curse nobody today starts. The descendants of Ham were servants by nature. It was in their blood. That curse was upon Canaan. That was why Canaan lost his inheritance. All the descendants of Canaan, the Hittite, the Cushite, the Hivites, the Amorites, all of them, the curse that started from the time of Ham was upon their heads. And that was why Moses specifically recorded that cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he will be. Listen to me. Noah cursed Cush, cursed Put, cursed Mizraim, and cursed Canaan. All of them descendants of Ham. Therefore, watch TV. Anytime they are showing, they don't even mention Africans. Or the economic crisis. They don't talk about Africans. They don't. Don't say this outside. Sometimes when I look at an Arab, I'm angry. You know why? He even feels superior to a black man. I say, idiots like you. How will give you the right? Until one day I realized that Banky, keep quiet, he's a descendant of Abraham by flesh. I think it's a joke that all the crude oil in the world was packed under his land. Go and check it. Those guys are descendants of Abraham. Ah! I said, man, don't suffer. You know what I mean? Then, thank God for the gospel of Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He said, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. Many scriptures he said about it. One of them, he said, he has broken down the wall of partitioning. There's no longer Jew or Gentile. There's no longer descendant of Shem, Japhet, or whether descendant of Ham. There's none anymore. Once somebody is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. I believe it very strongly. And before Oga Barak began contest for election, I preached it. That I'm not a slave. Are you getting my point? I said, Nalaya, I'm a redeemed child of God. That is why when I watch on TV, ask those who have been with me. They know how irritated I get when people gather and say, Israel is very special before God. They are the people of God. I say, shut your mouth, ignorant Jew like you. It's because your grandfather was a Jew. That's why you don't understand the gospel of Christ Jesus. It has confused you. There is no Israel that is special before God. I am as important as any Jew in this world. Sorry, I withdraw it. I am more important if he has not believed. Anyone who does not believe is condemned already. The promises of God are yea and an amen in Christ Jesus. What are you telling me? It is only activated by faith. Go and read it. If you did what the... Listen to what he said now. He said, I'm bringing you into this land not because of your righteousness, that there is nothing about you. He said, it is because of their wickedness. Therefore, if you do the kind of abominations they did, I will take you out also. Listen, there is no promise that God gave that is not activated through Jesus Christ. None. Listen, I have as much inheritance. All right, I have as much right to any portion of this earth as anybody. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. He said to my Lord Jesus Christ, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance. Don't draw me any old time boundary. Don't. I don't believe in it. I told somebody, why do I want Brother Obama to win? I want him to win. Next time you land in Dubai International, the respect will be different. It is a sign of redemption. Look, I don't care about him personally. It is a sign of redemption. You think it's a joke that he was raised by whites? Father is a black man. The guy never knew his father. It's a spiritual sign. I am telling you the truth. He said the nations, they will nurse your offspring. I'm telling you. Your former enemies will be the ones to nurse your offsprings. The young girl born a black kid for him, and then he vanished after. Because there was a word. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hey, it is not about him as a person. Go and read the guy's story. Go and read Audacity of Hope. You will see there's nothing about him as a person. He's just being carried by some rivers beyond him. What was about Joseph? What did Joseph know? Nothing. It's not his fault that his mother was this. You know, do you get my point? He was just born and a word that was given gave birth to him, sent him through his troubles, landed him in Egypt, and finally landed him on the throne. I'm explaining a principle. The word gave birth to you. You are not a creature of chance. A word gave birth to you. I'm not just talking about somebody prophesied upon your mother after she had not had children for 6 years. You should have a child. That's not what I'm talking about. That the reason why she received that prophecy was because there was a word about to be released. Your mother is a channel of the fulfillment. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He said, until the time that his word came to pass, listen to me, until that time the word of the Lord tried him. Listen, the word that gave you birth, that created you, that your body was formed to release, to fulfill. Listen, it may not have been manifested yet. But it is coming. Are you getting my point?
It is coming. That's why we talk about occupy daily. Keep yourself busy every day. Because, you know, my message is your word and your what? Your time. Because that word is tied to the fulfillment of certain things. Some issues will happen first before the word manifests. And then when it manifests, other things can now be fulfilled. So that's why God gives you an assignment for each day. And when he said, pray like this, give us this day our daily bread. We have enough troubles for one day. We have enough harassments to handle for one day. We will keep busy until the time that word will come to pass. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. I hope it's making sense to you. That's what I want to understand, though. Your life is not a chance life at all. A word was released. That was why you were released. Do you understand my point? The word went first, and then it congealed this matter around it into a flesh. A word that was released prepared a body. Are you getting my point? God prepared a body for that word. Your very existence is proof that something was said at the time. Do you get my point? Listen, there are different ways that people find out they are calling. There are people who, they'll be going one day and God will say, hey, you come here. Before you were born, I knew you. That's Jeremiah. Then one day, Joseph will be, I said, David will be somewhere. David will be out there. And then they will send for him, come. Then they pour oil on his head. And let me tell you something again. That they poured oil on David's head did not change his lifestyle. I hope you get what I'm saying. Stop looking for vision. That's what I'm trying to explain. Why God won't give many people vision is that if he does, you won't turn sheep again. David was a shepherd. Then they anointed him king. A lot of people, you do that. He's stretching their shoulder. After that, he said, David, please go and bring me milk from the... daddy, king, go to the farm to go and look for what? It's not done. So God, that's why he demands such prophecies. Say, these people, if I tell them too many things. You know, you say, you got a young man. The professor said, you'll be a man of God, a young boy. Next thing, you go and look for a title, bishop. They will hire a PA. Then the PA will carry his briefcase. Are you getting my point? You know, I was like that book I told you I was writing. I just think that there's a proliferation of apostles in Nigeria. Everybody's an apostle. Initially, we were pastors. Then after some time, some people say, why should I be a pastor? Now, some people became bishops. I'm not saying it's wrong to be a bishop. Bishop just means overseer, all right? Uh-huh. Then some young men say, that's a sign of promotion spiritually. It became. Then some people say that, look, there are so many pastors and bishops. They became what? Apostles. All right? I say, look, you can call, you know one thing about God, you not to be vexed for name. Call yourself anything you like. If you are not an apostle, no matter how much you call yourself apostle, you are not an apostle. You know, in Nigeria today, everybody is a doctor of one thing or the other. Either a medical doctor, or a doctor of letters, or a doctor of history, or a doctor of, traditional doctor, or you are a magician, so they call you professor. You know what I'm trying to say? And what are you? What is a magician? So, professor. Anyway, call yourself any name. That will not concern God. It is what you really are. And what you do. Just like Bishop Oyedepo said, that the problem with titles is that they tend to cover people's faces. That a title is like an oversized cap. Now, when you give a man a cap too big for his head, it tends to reach his shoulder before it stops. And then he can't see straight again. I mean, that just by the way. The point I'm making is that when they made David king, when they anointed him king, what happened to him? Nothing. He just went back to his normal business. Listen to me. Everything that happened in his life just evolved. Howbeit naturally. Are you getting my point? One day he just stumbled on one Goliath and he did what he normally does to Goliath. And he said, this is not my first time. I've done it before to two other Goliaths. You are getting what I'm saying? Uh-huh. That look, this is not my first time of doing something like this to a Goliath. Now, please, understand the point I'm making here. So, you see, it's the vision that they gave to him didn't change his lifestyle. That's the point I'm trying to explain. But the word, are you getting me, was moving him. There are people who God calls, you know, with dramatic manifestations. Like I talked about Jeremiah. But Daniel, who called him? Nobody. Are you getting what I'm saying? One day they stole him. He was taken captive. Then they began to groom him. Cut a long story short, his anointing showed when they put him under certain circumstances. Are you getting my point? And he kept on bringing out the light that was inside him. You are following what I'm trying to explain there. The same thing with this our Joseph. He dreamt one interesting dream. Listen to me. It's you now that's reading the Bible that know the meaning of that dream. Joseph did not know the meaning. Are you getting my point? It's you now that's reading scriptures that understand what it means to... How many dreams have you dreamt? Have you not dreamt that Pluto and Saturn were revolving around your head? What dream have you not dreamt? So listen, Joseph, even if he knew that he would be an important person, the last place he thought about was Egypt. Do you get what I'm saying? But that the word, that's what I'm trying to explain, but that the word that brought him to be, that gave substance to his flesh, the word that God formed that flesh to carry, kept on pushing him until the time of that manifestation. So what are we supposed to do until that time? We are supposed to walk, like I said before, occupying daily, cultivating faithfulness every day, knowing that your life is not an accident. Look, that's my own major assignment this day when I want to work on myself. You know, like, God, please, I'm not going to doubt you. You know, I have to repeat this thing to myself so that I don't get tempted to be carried away by things that are not, you know, like maybe, let me give you an example. Somebody say, hey, somebody will tell you that, your mates are building houses. I say, listen, houses that I will live in, men are gathering right now to build it and I don't know them yet. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. It's a script. Look, I didn't know my landlord when he built the current house I'm living in. He built it long ago. The Bible says you will live in houses you did not build. I'm living in one right now that I did not build. I'm paying rent, but that's a level of manifestation. depends on how you see life. And there are people who have gathered. They are clearing land as I speak. And they are putting down rod and doing this and laying foundation for a bigger house that I will not build, but I will live in. Do you follow what I'm going to say? What future are your children? I say, listen, there are people who are, if I say this, it will make you laugh, who are currently stealing so that my children's future will be guaranteed. He said, what are you saying, Pastor Banky? Listen, he said, to the wicked man, he has given the task of laboring and gathering. There are those who won't sleep. And they don't know that that's what they are doing. So I try to remind myself of all of these things. That when Isaac was blessing Jacob, one of the things he blessed him with is that peoples will serve you. I don't know whether I get my point. That even your brother will be your servant. You know what it means? Those who are not obeying God have been commanded to serve those who are obeying God. Oh, I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. The reason why the descendants of Ham were always servants was because there was a blessing on the other people that they did not have. Therefore, they had to serve all the time. Strangers, the Bible says, they will build my walls. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm explaining a principle that there's a word that is carrying me. Therefore, I want to focus on that, occupying daily, waiting for the manifestation of that word and not bothering myself with what shall we eat. What shall we drink? And where we do shall we be clothed? Sometimes when I look in my house and I see the rate at which milk disappears. You know, one day I was tempted to call my wife and say, come, I think you have to ration this milk one way or the other. Then she said, I hope you know you have 4 children and they live on milk. You know, we only were discussing. Then one day I told myself, I said, what is your problem, Banky? What labor did you labor to bring the milk there in the first place? Let me tell you something about God. If you chop one whole tin of milk, I don't mean small tin, a big tin in a day, what will happen is that supplies will come to replenish it every day. If you decide that it's every month you want to be finishing one tin of milk, God will send you one tin of milk a month. So I told myself, Banky, I beg, don't worry about it. Let them chop the milk, chop the yam, chop the bread, anything you like, chop. But that there will not be food in my house. That's the one that will not happen. Let them increase the rate of consumption, but that there will not be food in my house is the one that will not happen. I like the testimony of people like Archbishop Benson Dausa. One day I go reach that level, that is, it will go operate like that. No, I don't have a cook in my house yet. It will reach that level. When it is time for lunch, everybody goes to eat. Once you are near the office, all of you must eat. Everybody must eat. And that food will not finish. Do you get my point? So I reason to myself, I say, Banky, come. Which labor have you labored? Really, to get anything? Nothing. So my prayer every day, in the evening, in the morning, say, Dear Lord, in Jesus' name, may I not worry. In Jesus' name, may I not doubt you. In Jesus' name, may I not think that you're forgotten. You know what I'm saying? Like, God, that's when we will talk that time. You still remember, so. Yeah, and you imagine God saying, wait, how are you doing? I said, not discuss now. We'll discuss that time now. I said, remind me first. I said, God, may I not even think I'm wiser than you are? Do you get my point? That is it, God. Come, we'll talk. You know Fred, he's my age mate. You know this other guy? He was my classmate. See their car, see my shoe. You know that kind of reasoning? Say, God, where you day? When these things they happen? You did sleep? I said, God, may I not even think like that? I preached something on Saturday, on Sunday, where I went to preach. I gave the people an assignment. I said, there is nothing, listen to me, let me say the way I said it to them. There is nothing that you will ask God for that he will, if you really want it, that he won't give you. And I told them, let me first describe what I mean by want. I'm not saying what the society says you want. Do you get my point? Let me give you an example. Most people cannot identify a hummer from a distance, but they want one. They don't know how it feels inside. When you tell people that Jeep, you know what they call a Jeep, all these cars, that they are not good inside gallop, people don't believe you. That if you go over a bump, it will almost throw you to the roof. A lot of people don't want to accept because they have formed the concept in their mind that the big man is enjoying, he's driving a Jeep. Now, guess what I'm trying to explain? One of the things I told them in that church is this. I said, most of the houses we build now, I personally don't like them. If I had to build a house from the beginning, this kind of small windows you see all over our house, all over town, small window, there is now sliding, so only half of it opens. I said, it's not tropical. I don't know who started it, and I don't know who's imbibing the whole doctrine. I have talked to architects. They said it's a silly way to build a house. And you now ask, who's building it? My friend who used to lecture with my friend's wife. Veronica and I will talk. Veronica said she doesn't understand why. She's an architect, a teacher. All right? That a tropical house will have very low windows and very high windows. It's like the window should be from top to bottom. So as to keep the house cool. Now I'm trying to bring out something. But sometimes society tells us that build your house like everybody else. So you think you want that kind of a house. Are you getting what I'm saying? You hear that big man, they fly private jet. You think you want one. The truth is that you probably don't want one. It will take you only one for 1 year to realize that it was an exercise in futility. You will understand what Solomon meant when he said that vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. It was like chasing after the wind, except you don't discover it until you have caught it and you've caught nothing. While it was elusive, you thought you needed it. Are you getting my point? One big man died about 2 years ago in Nigeria here. One man was telling us that the week before he died, it was in his 70s, he took this man that went to visit him to his car garage and showed him all the cars he had there, that is all kinds of cars. They put them in an air-conditioned garage so that their paint won't change. This was the week before he died. I was a Christian, incidentally. So the man looked at all the guys, told the person, said, look, see all these things? They are nothing. It's vanity. He was speaking out of experience. Now, I'm telling you something.
Don't, you know, I've said it before, don't make your life an experiment. Solomon was given to us as an experiment. He experimented with it. When you see men, unbelieving men, of course, who are chasing women about, either they are marrying one after the other, or they are exchanging one girlfriend after the other. You know, Solomon said, it's emptiness. Do you understand my point? That you're wasting time. It's not worth it. You don't get anything. Those men, what they only get later is what they call bragging rights. You know, bragging rights. They sit amongst their friends and start discussing it. The reason being that he wants to feel good. Because every time he thinks about it, there's emptiness. So he starts talking to make it feel good. Solomon, after marrying 700 women and having 300 concubines, he said, there is nothing better than for a man to rejoice with the wife of his youth. That first one who he married that time. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That, you see, I'm talking about what somebody really wants. When I told them in that church, I said, don't rush to pray this prayer. I said, go home for 2 weeks. Every day, pray and meditate before you do what I'm asking you to do. I said, if you, as a child of God, if you really settle down and ask God, what do I really want? Because a lot of times people pray for things they don't understand. James and John came to Jesus and said, grant that we might sit on your left and on your right. And he said, do you even know what you're talking about? Are you getting my point? Do you even have an idea of the meaning of left and right? Have you ever seen anybody sitting on the left or on the right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Then I ask them, are you able to drink the cup and I'm going to drink and pass through as well, I'm going to pass through? What should a sensible person have said? Explain. Is that not so? A sensible person should have said, what you are about to pass through, what are you going to pass through? If you come and meet me now, Pastor Banke, are you sure you can run the race I'm about to run? You first say, explain the race now. Is it 100 meters or 500 meters or 10,000 meters? Or it is 42 kilometers of marathon. Because if that's the case, I'll give you the address of Haile Gebrey Selassie. It's not me. I won't just answer, yes, I can. When I don't even know what they're talking about. They did not even know what the law was talking about. They said, yes, we can. Now, please, I'm breaking this thing down. Bear all these things in mind when I'm talking about anything you will ask God for. That's why he seems not to answer some prayers. Because people ask amiss. Some people think they are asking. They're actually complaining. They are not asking. Many times people come and talk to me. I've had this before. There's one young man, seriously afflicted. He has a very serious ailment and all of that. He will call me. Somebody gave him my number. And said he used to listen to me on radio. And he called me one day. And I agreed to talk to him. Then he called me another time. And then he will send me a text. And I, at the point that I didn't reply a text, I just called Yinka. I said, Yinka, I have a job for you. You will help me reply this young man or call him and talk to him. He said, Pastor Banko, didn't you answer him? I said, because he never asked me anything. He just wants to complain in my hearing. And I don't have the time. I know you're suffering. I know your affliction is severe. But I don't have the time to just settle down there and hear you complain. It's not a bad thing. What I mean that if somebody has the time to show you the mercy, he should. But I said, what I say you can call me for is if you have issues to discuss, if you need prayers, are you getting my point? Not that every time you call, you repeat how you have suffered in the last 1 year. And then I pray for you. Then you call me the next day and say, you don't know what to do now. You are suffering so much. I said, listen, you don't have questions. I'm bringing out something here. A lot of people say they are praying. They are not really praying. They are doing what? They are grumbling. Do you want to be made whole? He says, I have no man. The question is, hey, wait. Do you want to be made whole? He said, every time, you know, see everybody, they don't even care. I've asked you a question. You have not yet answered it. No, Jesus is interesting. That's why a man will come, what do you want me to do for you? Now, I'm bringing out an issue. I'm talking about asking. Do you understand my point? God answers prayers. If we really pray in sincerity, God answers prayers. Now, let me now tell you the assignment I want to give you. Ask God, what do I really want? And when you have decided, ask for it. And he will most certainly give it to you. It might take a bit of time. You may ask for something you are not ready for now. Do you get my point? Let me give an example. Now, I'm not saying I've reached there yet, but I'm getting there. Are you getting my point? I have discovered that when a real child of God asks for things, it usually has to do with purpose, with the word. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like, when
If God say, okay, Banky, I give you, ask me for 3 things. I wonder the 3 things I will ask for, all right? But the kind of things I ask for usually has to do, they usually have to do with blessing for other people, because it's very important. It's very important. If God can come up to you and say, ask for anything, it means that you don't need anything. I don't know whether you get the point. If you reach the level where God will say, ask for anything, you know what it means? You don't need anything. And great people use the opportunity to ask for other people. Are you getting my point? When God called Abraham his friend, Abraham used the opportunity to pray for Sodom and Gomorrah. You are following what I'm saying. When he walked up to Solomon, Solomon said, please, these people, they are great. They need a great king. Please give me the wisdom to be a blessing to them. I call that the king's heart. You are following what I'm saying. All right? Now, a serious believer, a serious child of God, eventually after you have prayed, you will discover that most of your requests will center around 2 things. Blessing for other people, all right? And the fulfillment of purpose in your life. Believe me, I know what I'm saying. You, like, look, on a personal note, maybe because I just feel like, if it's crazy for God to say, what do you want me to do for you? Say, build me a house. Ordinary rich men in the country can build you a house. Do you get my point? The governor can build you a house. Even bricklayer can build you a house. It's a very ridiculous request to make of God. When God gives you a point, ask for things that are very crazy. You know what I mean? Very difficult. Like relocate the greatest nation in the world to the shores of Nigeria. That's a very, you know, it's a difficult thing. Make Nigeria more important than America. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those are difficult requests. Stop asking that, God, I just want to drive big car like my friend. God will look and say, you don't know who's asking you. That is, you don't know who, you think this is Angel Gabriel, right? It's not. I hope you're getting my point. Now you come and say, God, please, I need a new mobile phone. God say, what? I showed up in your house, who can discuss the kind of mobile phones you have. Okay, go on the streets. You'll see one that fell down, pick it, then come back. Let's talk some more important things. Now, please, let me get what I'm saying here. I told people to do. When you are settled down and have discovered what you really want, one of the kind of things I ask for, say, what do you want me to do for you? I say, about God is simple. See, this gospel that I preach, I want it aired 30 minutes every day around the globe. And I'll be fine. That is, see all these books I have written. I want them to be sold and read, distributed in at least 20 different languages. I can give him a list though if he asks for. I will give him the list of the most widely spoken ones. I start with Spanish. We're already in English. In Africa, you ask Swahili. In the Indian languages, I don't know which one of them, there are plenty. In the Chinese language, that is, we count 20 languages that at least 5 billion people cannot say they can't read it. Are you getting my point? Ah, Baba God, I forgot to mention, 10,000 copies a day. I don't want the money. It's not the money. In fact, by the time I ask him, he knows it's not the money. Do you understand what I'm saying? That no. In fact, you can, if you like, distribute it for free. Just, I don't like books going for free. It's against my religion. I don't believe in free books. Amen? Amen? Amen. I feel people should pay something for books. No matter how little. Do you understand my point? To him that you want that has little, take little from him. But don't give him for free. Collect his lunch for the book. But don't give him for free. The young man who used to barb my hair, one day we were talking. He just saw me holding a book. He saw the book, Pastor Banky. Then he saw my picture in front. That's a great faith can be yours. He said, are you Pastor Banky? I said, yes. He said, Yigbeleo. You are Pastor Banky? You mean I've been barbing the hair of Pastor Banky for the last 2 years? I did not know. Hey! Do you think I dashed in the book against my religion? I know God dashed it. Like, yeah. He said, how can I get this book? I said, they sell it down the road there.
When he, no, jokes apart, when he finishes, I pay him 3 times what he charges to cut my hair. I can't imagine, because you should sit down and cut my hair very well. I can't be paying you 100 naira. But dash him the book, like, yeah, God forbid. If he offered me that 300 naira I gave him, then I'll give him the book. But to dash you the book, nah, yeah, no. Beg me for money, I will give you. But dash you the book. It's just my problem. Do you understand? When I was sending free Bibles, I say, ah, you can send free Bible to Bangladesh and India. Free Bible in Nigeria, I'm not going to distribute. That's just Pastor Back. That is just me. I just feel, you know, my wife used to say, because my wife does business and sells things and all of that. People will buy, you know, dress to wear to work. Plus perfume, plus everything, they will pay 30,000 naira at a go. They can say, dash me this book now. My wife, you know, she's my wife. So she has learned my bad habit. Like, she won't give you. She can give you a 1,000 naira discount on the shirt you have bought, on the suit you bought. But that book, you must count the money separately. The book is only 300 naira. You can say, okay, madam, see now, everything I bought is plenty. I want a discount. You can argue, you can get 2,000 naira discount. But the 300 naira book, she no go dash you. Out of that discount, you can remove 300 naira and pay for the book. Now, that's just me. I'm trying to get to understand. You know my reason. I feel like for you to even be paying for a suit and be begging for the book, you should say you don't want to read. You know, you don't want to read. You don't want to read. You don't want to read. I think it's better to beg for a shirt and buy a book rather than to buy a shirt and beg for a book. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm just saying that. So if God, the Lord asks me for anything to do, look, that's the kind of thing I will ask for. Now, do I want a very big house? Maybe I'm not asking for that because I'm already sure I will get that one. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. Okay, let's add to it. I've always said the kind of only people that want to live in house. I find it funny when people go and buy 500 square meter and build house to every corner of it. Where will you park your car? How will tree grow to give you fresh? No, I don't understand for people. I say, well, temporarily we can manage. You know the Anglican bishop's house? It's my idea of a house. You know that one there? I love it. And then the only thing I don't like about it is that the neighbors are poor people. I live on that street for your information, so I'm not a business people there. That's my street. That is where I live. I'm just saying that kind of house, I want my neighbor to have that size of land and the one on the other side to have that size. I'm not competing with anybody. Your own can be 3 times. I don't mind. But one day when we are driving home, there'll be trees and birds singing. You're welcome, Pastor. You know that kind of thing. I like it. I can ask the Lord for that. It can create a new town for people like us, people of my type of heart to live in. That when my children want to give address to their house, maybe one of their friends say, okay, let me come and visit you on weekend. I say, oh, no problem. When you enter our compound, just the first drive on the left, all right? Yeah, you know that kind of thing? Did you say your compound or your street? I said, well, compound and street, they are the same thing. No, really. But make sure you settle that after you have refused what the world told you need. You know what I mean? What the world is trying to deceive you that you need. And what you have decided. You know, Solomon built the temple of God and built for himself a magnificent palace. People say he was a carnal man. No, he was a rich man who knew how to... Look, if God give you plenty, you will build it also. Are you getting my point? If God gave you plenty, you too, you will build it. Now, I'm bringing out something. When you have settled all of that in your heart, you now settle down and you ask God for anything. I put the house one there, so I'm not trying to be spiritual. That only asks for missions. God, I want you to convert the whole of China. Yes, that is one. That is good. Then add the second one. Just for, you know, just to show that God has blessed you. And listen to me. There is nothing that you ask for that God wouldn't give you. That's what it's taking me almost 20 minutes to bring that point home. Listen, the key to receiving for children of God is what? Asking. If you listen to me on radio yesterday, I hope a lot of people will still talk to me after. I said, this is a joke. People crack.
I need a car. I go and sow a seed towards my car. I don't believe in it. I think it's a lie. I think you are fooling yourself. It is called godliness misconceived as a means of great gain. As a means of gain. You don't do an act of godliness and you demand gain back. No, you do godly acts as a matter of nature, as a matter of lifestyle. Do you get my point? You live in a, if you want, you know, I keep on talking about this giving thing. Please, if you can't give, don't give. Don't think you will do it one day. And then ask God, the one I did yesterday, where's the result now? If you don't want to start, don't start. Are you getting my point? Anything you start and you will not maintain, do you follow me? It will not get you any result. Go and read the book of Hebrews chapter 6. He said, God is not unjust. Open your Bibles there, quickly. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. He said, God is not unjust, so as to forget your work and the love that you have shown, in that you minister to the saints, and what? And you are still ministering. That's what I want you to understand. That you minister to the saints, and you are still ministering. You can't just minister to the saints one day and say, oh God, where's my reward? You minister to the saints and you continue to minister. That's the principle behind it. Now, so what was I even saying? So I was trying to say that for the child of God, the secret is what I have told you. Anything you want, you can ask immediately. But why I say you should take time is so that you remove all the things that the world lied to you that you need. And you settle on that you really desire, you will discover that God will give you the desires of your heart. Anything you ask for with conviction that this is what I really want. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, no, that's a matter of fact. Let me summarize everything I've said today. One, you're not here by accident. Did I hear an amen? There was a word that was released which necessitated your coming into existence. A body, he said, you have prepared for me. Are you getting my point? And there is a time that word will be fully manifested. And until that time, you do what? Occupy daily. There is a goal of forming Christ inside you by continual renewing by the word of God, which was what the Bible said concerning Jacob, that until that time, the word of the Lord tested him. Are you getting my point? Once you have fully fulfilled that testing of the word of God and the time for the manifestation comes, it doesn't need any begging. There are those who have visions ahead of time, but most people, just cultivating faithfulness on a day-to-day basis is what takes them into the realms of the fullness of God's manifestation. And I said that anything you want, anything at all. Oh, did you hear what I said? Anything. Please tell your neighbor anything. I mean anything. You know, when they tell me, sometimes look, I don't like small houses. I don't like living in a small house. It's just it's got something that God created in me before I even came to Enugu. And I used to say that, you know, when I hear what rent costs in places like Abuja, Port Harcourt, and Lagos, for a while I say, if man they live for Lagos, you know, instinctively you want to shrink the size of house you live in. I told myself, no. If I move to Lagos, it's the house I want, really, that God will give me there. It might cost 1.6 million naira a year, but God can do it. One of my friends wants to rent a house now. I told him, oh boy, don't spare cost, though. Let me tell you the truth. The fact is that if you spare cost and rent a small house, God will send you money for a small house. That's a matter of fact. If you open your heart, and as God brings supplies your way, you receive the blessing he wants to give you, he will continue to supply. No, you will never go hungry. Did I hear an amen? Amen? It's a matter of fact, you will never go hungry. You won't. The reason why children of God lack is because, let me summarize, they are really not trusting God. And let me tell you something. Later on, we'll talk about this. I said I was going to begin to teach about, I don't know whether to start this Saturday, talk about this money matters. You will understand the real thing about giving. People don't understand it. They think it's kalo playing. My book will soon come out, Grace to Prosper. It should be out before December or early December. I hope we'll have it before we break.
Read chapter 1, chapter 2. Chapter 2 especially, who is a cheerful giver? A cheerful giver is not a man who gives and says that, God, do you multiply it back? A cheerful giver is a man of faith who knows that, look, whether I keep this money or not, I will have enough. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, whether I keep this one or not, I will have enough. Therefore, the man is cheerful. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Therefore, the man is cheerful. He just knows. It's not as if he's trying to impress anybody. He knows that whether I keep this money or not, I will have enough. That my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So he's a cheerful giver. And if he's not a cheerful giver, it's because he doesn't believe it. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? If he's not a cheerful giver, it is because he does not believe it. If he indeed believed it, then he'll be cheerful. It's not about playing kalo kalo. But I give you 5 naira. You multiply it to 50. I give you about 45. Listen, God is not a joker. I keep giving you back and then you keep increasing it. And no, no, no. It is that I know my time will come. That's what I'm trying to explain. Are you getting my point? Therefore, I am not tied to anything today. I live a glad life. I'm happy. I know that I'm not a creature of accident. There's a word that formed me, and that word has gone forth to prepare every other thing that is necessary for the fulfillment thereof. Have you gotten my point? That's what I've tried to explain today. I hope you learned something today. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.